John 12, verse 46. Jesus says, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me shall stay in darkness."
Arise, shine, for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. 1 John 4:13 through 16.
John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning.
Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind.
The light shines in the darkness,
and darkness has not overcome it. John 1:1-5.
For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Genesis 1:2.
John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters.
How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace.
Who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, "Your God reigns."
We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible.
And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages,
God from God, light from light, true God from true God,
begotten and not made, of the same essence as the Father.
Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven.
He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scripture.
He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory
to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end.
And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life.
He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified.
He spoke through the prophets.
We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen.
Greetings. I am Pastor Ken Krause from Fellowship Church, and I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Some of you may be watching this video on Christmas Eve, others on Christmas Day or some other time. But whenever or wherever you're watching it, I pray that you will be blessed and encouraged by the Christmas message and the Christmas story, because it is not like all the other stories that we tell our children and grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. It's the Christmas story, or the account, is much more powerful and impactful than any other story that we know of. The Bible's Christmas message is a story of God taking on human flesh and becoming one of us. His grace toward us, his mercy. This is a story about God's love for us. God is in his continuing presence with us. It's a story of Jesus, the glory of God with us.
As we've celebrated Advent, we've lit candles each Sunday to remind ourselves that as Jesus' coming grows closer, the light for the world grows brighter. The first candle reminded us to watch for his coming, as did Israel of old. The second candle called us to prepare for his coming into our lives personally. The third candle pointed to our response of rejoicing in what the Christ child means to us. The fourth candle called us to open our eyes and behold his coming glory. Now we light the Christ candle as a symbol that he is here, he is present, he is Emmanuel, God with us. Not just on this Christmas day, but he is God with us for the coming new year and every day of our lives. And even as this candle burns today, may his light burn within us as we go from this place as lights for a dark world. For he who called himself the light of the world also said of us, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And so the Apostle Paul charges us this day and this coming year to shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And this sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Thank you so much, Pastor Mike, and thank you, Roseanne and Shiloh. It's good to have some participation in our service today. And next, I would draw our attention to the scripture reading of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 through 20 in Luke's gospel account of the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We praise God for this reading of his holy word. Of course, God was with his people long before Jesus was born of Mary that first Christmas morning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have been around and involved in earthly affairs, well, ever since the beginning. But when Jesus was born, it changed everything. When the second person of the Trinity entered our world, God entered our world as flesh and blood, with DNA and bone, with teeth and tongue. God showed us the great extent of his love for us and for the world that he created when he sent his one and only Son into the world. Joy. Joy is the appropriate response to such a miracle and such a story about God's love. But if you're not focused on God's love or God's gift to humanity this year or God's grace and salvation this Christmas, then joy may be difficult for you to find. With so many home alone due to the pandemic, with many ill in the hospital due to COVID-19, with families rent asunder after a brutal year of disagreements and arguments with one another, with so many out of work and businesses threatened, well, joy just might be hard to come by this year. Especially if we think of Christmas as being all about me, my health, my well-being, my holiday spirit. The joy of Christmas that we're talking about now in the story and the message of Christmas, the joy of Christmas is a different kind of joy than a selfish kind of joy or happiness that we tend to think about. The joy of Christmas is different, and it can be experienced by you Whether you're rich or poor, or healthy or sick, or happy or homeless, the shepherd's joy can be experienced today, no matter how difficult and different this Christmas looks for you, and no matter what you're going through this year, you may still experience a Christmas joy. I'm thankful for those who are willing to share the videos of themselves, members from our church here, and part of this Christmas video. They remind us of our church family, physically apart, yet spiritually together, in love, united in our common commitment to the Lord of life, to God, and to each other. And we're still a church, even though we're not gathering in a building right now. And there are just so many things today, though, that distract us and can confuse us each year when it comes to Christmas. There are a lot of people who just miss the point of it all, and I can see it when I'm looking for Christmas cards in a general store and hardly find one that even mentions Jesus or the name Jesus. And I wonder, well, what is Christmas to you if you don't even think about Jesus this time of year? There are a lot of people who just miss the point, and I pray that we do not miss the point or miss out on that deep, abiding Christmas joy that any of us could have. So throughout Advent, you've been waiting for this time. You've been looking forward to maybe spending time with family or eating a lot of foods and different foods, and yes, opening presents. But hopefully you have been waiting for something else too. Hopefully you've been looking forward to celebrating the birth of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, because that's what this is all about. No matter how difficult this year has been for you, no matter how stressed out you have been, no matter what your physical limitations are right now, Christmas joy is possible for you too. And now you can put aside all of the stress, put it behind you for this time of worship, this time of celebration, this time of meditation on the meaning, the message, the biblical message of Christmas. Lay aside the grief and the worry even, at least for a time, because this time is special. Right now, in this time of worship, right now, I believe you want to get caught up into the wonder of it all, the miracle, the meaning, the message of grace. You want to cherish the moment, to live into the history, and to see the holiness of that first Christmas night. Here at this time, you want to celebrate things like hope, love, and joy. You remember that your trials are only temporary and that you are preparing for eternity. You remember that you are a stranger and an alien in this world and that your true citizenship is in heaven. Your true home is in heaven, not here. So you remember, along with believers all over the world who gather in homes or in huge cathedrals or in those tiny little country churches or nursing homes or those who worship in the dark basements of someone's house because this kind of Christmas joy is illegal. Today we remember the fact that God sent his one and only Son into our world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. So with the birth of Jesus, God has spoken the word into human flesh, and it was so. So this Christmas, no matter what's going on, we worship and we celebrate God becoming one of us. And a huge part of this Christmas celebration is joy, a deep abiding joy that is brought about by the presence of God with us. Of course, the Bible predicted long ago that Jesus would be coming. The ancient faithful were given a glimpse of the hope and the coming of the joy, of this joy, from the prophets. The people were told that God would come to them both in power and in grace, in humility and in meekness. You see, many religions of the world today are simply a philosophy of religion, a way of life, or a set of certain teachings. But with Christianity, it's different. Christians focus on a historical reality of a person born in a supernatural way into a very real world. In his gospel, Luke wants to make sure that we understand the historical significance of what has happened that night long ago on that first Christmas night. That it was historically true and accurate, and if you were alive when he wrote this, that you could go talk to the people who were there, and you could find out for yourself. You could talk to the shepherds, you can interview them, and find out the truth of this story. So we read about a ruler named Caesar Augustus in time who issued a decree for a census to be taken. We're told that the governor of Syria, whose name is very difficult to pronounce, was there. We're told of geographical details that Joseph went up from the town named Nazareth in the region of Galilee to Judea, another region to the south, to a town called Bethlehem, called the town of David. A lot of detail here, a lot of geographical detail. We're told of ancestral detail, that Joseph is from the line, the lineage of King David. We're told detail that wouldn't be very flattering even if we were making this story up about the birth of a king or about God becoming human. Mary's left with the animals in a manger to give birth to this king? That's not something you would make up. All of these details speak of the historical veracity, the truthfulness of the birth of Christ that first Christmas morning. The angel told the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." A Savior, not just a good man, not just a wise teacher, not just a philosopher or a spiritual advisor. A Savior has been born to you. Heaven and earth are witnesses to this. The angels are witnesses. The shepherds are witnesses. Heaven and earth are witnessing this great event on that first Christmas. Today, this day, in history, in this particular town, a Savior has been born to you. Where does heaven's joy show up first? Well, out in the fields, of course, with the shepherds working the night shift, the angel of the Lord appears to them. The lowly shepherds get the first birth announcement, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The good news, the great joy, will not just be for the well-to-do of the world or for the politically powerful or for those who think themselves to have it all together. No, this joy, this good news will be for all the people. So the dirty, smelly shepherds working the night shift, they're the ones. They get the news first about the birth of this cosmic king. And if one angel wasn't enough, it says in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." As you may already know, a heavenly host is a heavenly army. So the heavenly army strikes up a number to praise God above the shepherds that night. On that Christmas day, a lamb was born, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist said down there at the Jordan River. This was something to celebrate. This was something to be joyful about. This was something worth laying aside all of their duties or worries and all of our pettiness and pouting, our anger and vindictiveness, and our bitterness today too. This was something worth laying aside, all these things. On this day, a Savior has been born. And notice the personal language there. A Savior has been born to you. To you. Not just to people out there, not just to people on the other side of the world, not just to the people who are morally good according to human standards, but a Savior has been born to you. Some people who do not get the point of it all merely accept Jesus maybe as a good teacher, maybe as a spiritual advisor or guide of some kind or a philosopher even. But a philosopher wasn't born this day. No, a philosopher wasn't born this day. It says a Savior was born. And not just for those people out there, but or for those perfect people, but a Savior was born to you this day. And the angel says, as the angel says in Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." He will save his people from their sins. A Savior is born on Christmas morning. God made sure his messenger angels made this clear. A Savior was born to you. And when the angels left, when the skies became dark again, and when it became maybe a silent night once more, what did the shepherds do? I imagine they looked at each other with their jaws dropping down to the ground. But they say in verse 15, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Let's go check this out for ourselves. And that's really what Luke is doing, the gospel writer Luke. He's checking this out for himself as he investigates all things, as he says in the very first verses of chapter 1. Let's go to Bethlehem and see these things for ourselves. Let's go check this out. And there they find Mary and Joseph and the baby, just as they were told, just as the angels had told them. You see, joy and obedience go hand in hand in the Christmas story. You see it all over the place. Mary was obedient and accepting of the angel's announcement that she would conceive and give birth to a son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Mary consented to that. Joseph was obedient to the angel's command to take Mary home as his wife. And the shepherds, they obediently follow up with the news from the heavenly army to go and see. And the overwhelming response is joy. The overwhelming response is joy. The shepherds couldn't contain themselves. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They just had to talk, right? They had to say something. The Messiah had been born. The King, the Savior, was given to them. This was indeed a time to celebrate, and it says that's exactly what the shepherds did, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen with their own eyes. Again, they're witnesses to what has happened. Joy and obedience going hand in hand. Of course, we do not worship a tiny, helpless baby this Christmas. We remember his miraculous birth, God's providence surrounding his birth and his growth. But as further biblical revelation makes clear, the birth of the Christ child is nothing less than the Word of God, who was from the beginning, the Word who became flesh and walked among us. I think Hebrews chapter 1, the very first verses, 1 through 4 of Hebrews chapter 1, really says this well. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Hebrews chapter 1. This Christmas we worship and we celebrate the birth of our Savior who is greater than the angels, greater than Moses, greater than anyone else or anything else that we know or could know in this world, including the sin and the guilt and the shame that often holds us prisoners inside because of our sinfulness. We need a Savior. A Savior has been born to you. So where does your joy come from this year? What is it based upon? What's your response this Christmas? Is it indifference? Is it apathy? Or will your response be one of awe and joy and obedience? May we be like the shepherds who, after experiencing and witnessing the miracle of Christmas, they go and they tell others all that they have heard and seen and experienced when God came on the scene in the flesh in Jesus Christ, his Son. May we spread the light of good news and great joy, this light of good news and great joy that is for all the people. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, you have shown your great love for your children by using commonplace things for your purpose. Water to mark your children in covenant baptism, bread and wine to feed and nourish us ordinary people to be disciples. A child in a manger to announce your grace. Take our lives today, tomorrow, and into the new year and use them for your glory and purposes in a world that is often very dark and depressed and grieving, especially this year. Bless and use us, O Lord, to proclaim your gracious love so that your light would pierce the darkness and redeem this world for good. May joy fill our hearts to overflowing today as we offer our lives in the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Amen. And I receive the benediction today. May God, who sent his angels to proclaim the glad news of the Savior's birth, fill you with joy and make you heralds of the gospel today and always. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you today and Merry Christmas.
And there was light.